Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Thank you, Lord. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for the breath you gave us, for the lungs that you put inside of us to praise and worship you, for the voice and the voice box to declare your goodness into the earth, for the spirit of boldness to stand against the schemes of the enemy and the bullies in the earth, and the heart of the Father to love the lost and the broken and the stinky. We thank you for everything. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the fullness, the full stature, the full measure which was poured out for us. We receive you, we receive you, we receive you, and we receive it all because we receive you. Teach us what that means. Show us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tonight we have something special. We don't always do communion every Wednesday, but the Lord put it on my heart that we should partake in communion, so I've asked Joanne and Tim to come up and help us with that. So I'm just going to turn this over to you guys.
Praise the Lord. Well, Lori asked me to do this, and it just came to me. The Lord just said, just do it how I do it at home by myself. So I'm going to do it for, and you take it for yourself, okay, as I'm praying over the body of Christ, the bread. Lord, I just want to thank you. I thank you. You said to do this in remembrance of you. So, Lord, I remember. I remember what you did for me. Lord, I thank you that everything that happened to you, to your body, was for me. Lord, I thank you. You were wounded for my transgressions, and you were bruised for my iniquities, Lord. Thank you for every bruise and every wound that you took for me. Lord, you hung on that cross naked. You took the shame. You took all my shame that went with all the iniquities, and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for that crown of thorns that you took, that was pressed into your head for the chastisement of my peace, so I could be free from torment in my mind, and I could have peace of mind. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for those nail-pierced hands and feet, that you were nailed to the cross, and you took the curse for me. You were made a curse for me, because it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing might come upon me. Thank you, Lord, for taking that curse away from me, and now I'm blessed. And Lord, I thank you for those stripes that you took. Every one of them were for me. I thank you, Lord, that by those stripes, I'm healed and I'm whole. I thank you, I'm a whole person. I'm whole spiritually. I thank you, I'm whole mentally. I thank you, I'm whole emotionally. And Lord, I thank you, I'm whole physically. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for that, for the body, for everything you did for me on that cross. And I give you honor and glory. And I take this bread in remembrance of what you did for me. I'm forever grateful, forever grateful. I thank you that you have set me free. You've set me free, and I receive it and thank you for it. Thank you, Lord.
Well, when I think of this as a covenant meal, I know Jesus, he got excited about it. He told them he couldn't wait to do it. And I really think he's looking down. He's seeing his people. And not to see, are you doing it right? Did you come in right? But he's seeing that you're coming to him. He's excited about it. He's looking down. It pleases him. But what I wanted to say is the one word that I came to mind is when God sent Jesus, he obligated himself. He made an obligation to us. He obligated. It's called covenant love. Agape, it's like a love that we hardly understand, but it's a covenant. And every need that we could ever need, ever have. And we do have, we all have needs, right? But the Bible says it's met through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So as our faith can grow and grab hold of that, there's different kinds of faith. There's small, ye of little faith, and I great faith, and so there's got to be a lot of middle in between faith. So wherever we're at, our faith grows. So we can grab all that, everything that we could ever possibly need, anything you can think of, he's provided. All his whole motive was to give, just to give to us. So if everybody wants to just come on up and take your part.
As you take this, I always think of Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, where he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is the table, the body and the blood of Jesus. It's your victory. Whatever you're facing, this is facing some sickness, some disease, something financially, relationally. This is the table he prepares right in the presence of your enemies. This is a table of victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in the blood, faith in Jesus, faith in what he did, faith in his name. And because he humbled himself so low, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess in heaven and earth and under the earth. Whatever that name could be, it could be cancer, that's a name. Could be poverty, that's a name. Could be strife, division, racism, whatever is the name, it's under the name of Jesus. This is the table of victory. Yes. Just think as you take it, this is the table for you to get your victory. We thank you, Lord. Did you want to say something?
Thank you, Lord.
So as we take the blood, take the wine, symbolic of his blood, just release your cares, your needs. Put your faith on what you need. Put your faith in his goodness and his ability to meet that need. And he'll honor your faith. He'll honor it. So let's take the blood together as his, we're his family.
You know, I really love personal communion, but I really love corporate communion as well. There's power in unity, there's power in numbers, and when we come together as one, I envision us arm in arm, and no force can break through the line, the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And in the time that we're at right now, this is a weapon of warfare that can be used to stand against the schemes of the enemy, to strengthen your flesh through what was released on the cross. The resurrection power, which comes from the cross, for every one of us to receive and walk in fully. And we're in a day that we need to know our covenant rights, who we are and whose we is. Because the world is trying to tell you something different. And if you just, so to speak, take it, or if that's all you're listening to, you're going to float down the world stream. Communion is an opportunity to get right back in to the truth and the promises of the Lord and everything He released for us. I really think this is a season of communion. I think this is a season of the physical act of taking communion daily and communing with Him daily. You know, oftentimes, for some reason, our flesh likes to just do enough to get by. And God's word is full of what happens when you do just enough to get by. And it's also full of what happens if you steward what I've given you. More will be given to you. And I feel like there's so many distractions in the world. Everything is screaming, comply. Now, when I say comply, some of you instantly get, I'll never comply. That's actually a demon manifesting, okay? So I'm encouraging you to deal with those emotional responses because they're triggers hidden deep in your soul that need healing. And really, healing brings forth glorification to the King of Kings. When you manifest the that glorifies the devil and his kingdom. There's only two kingdoms. Only two. And so there's some days we operate in the kingdom of God, and there's some days we operate in the kingdom of darkness, if we're being honest. And that's why it's really important to take your thoughts captive. It's important to sit with the Lord and say, what are we doing? What do I need to do? Will you help me see what you want me to see? Because in our own way and in our own design, because we're partakers or we're kind of passing through this fallen world, you know, it's like the season that we're in of, okay, I was born in 1962. I've got so many years to live out in this earth suit that I'm wearing, but this is just the earth. My real identity is in Jesus Christ, which He poured into me way before I even manifested into the earth. But meanwhile, sometimes we get caught up in the distractions of the earth or the duties or the tasks or, you know, the programs or plans. Listen, come up higher and receive the fullness of God. That's where the victory is. It's not in working it out on earth. It's already been worked out in heaven, and we get to listen and do what the Father says. And that's it. And when you do that, it brings victory. Well, that's your message? It's pretty simple, but practice it. Grow those muscles, because that's when the victory comes. And see, we're in a season. This is the best of the best of the best of the times to be in. You were picked, hand-picked for this season, this time frame of life, so many years you have on here, which is, by the way, a vapor. It goes by very quickly, very quickly. And so if you're stuck in, when's this going to end? Listen, you're here because God picked you for this time. So shore up your spiritual muscles. Start to align with the kingdom of God. And your flesh will go, I don't want to. I want to go hang out. I want to do whatever. Listen, we need to subdue the flesh. We need to master the distractions of the flesh, because the window is small. The doorway is narrow that enter into the kingdom. I don't want to be one of those that when the time comes, when the trumpets blow, and when He comes back for His bride, which is going to be spotless, by the way. Hey, you already are spotless. Did you know that? You're just working it out. But when He comes back, will your oil lamp be full? Is your oil lamp full? Or are you going to go have to borrow or go buy from your neighbor? Listen, your neighbor, that system is corrupt. It's too late at that point. Get into the system of God, the kingdom of God, and fill your oil. What does that mean? Well, that means you need to spend time in His word, and you need to spend time in His presence, and you need to do what He says to do. Well, I don't hear his voice. Well, what is the word of God is full of do this or else, or do this and you get. So if you can't hear, I'm going to ask you, why not? It's written down. Now, if you can't read and you can't hear, then that's a different thing. But then again, I think they have Braille. But if you can't hear. So here's the thing. There's no excuse. You know, just like, you know, God has really been convicting me, okay? I love conviction. Do you love conviction? Come on. If you don't, why? Don't you know it brings victory? It brings the fruit of the tree of life into manifestation. It's I like a hard prune. Don't you like a good hard prune? Don't you know what it looks like? When it's ugly, it hurts. But look at what happens when spring comes. Woo, it's looking good. It's fresh and green and fragrant. Come on. Come on now. So some of us have been taught, oh, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. Okay? That's not scriptural. Show me that in the Bible. I know we've had things that happen to us, and so we build up these walls, and we try to make systems work so that we don't have to feel pain. But I'm going to tell you something. Pain always brings growth. You sever a limb, you're going to grow a new one. That's growth. I'm thinking branches, but hey, body parts too. I'm going to tell you my tooth, okay? They yanked two teeth out of my mouth. Down to the roots, took the roots and all. Do you know tissue grows back? And it grows back so good, and there's no pain anymore. The pain is gone. But I had to endure a season of pain and healing to get that. And now I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot I even had an issue with that. But every once in a while, I'll get with those fake phantom pains. It's a memory. I know. I'm like, Lord, there's nothing there. Think about that in your heart. You ever have some wounding to your heart and you've been healed and delivered and then all of a sudden I got it back again? How can that be? No, you don't. It's a phantom. Tell it to go. Speak life to that area of darkness or that area that needs to be filled in when something's been removed. That is a good word. So the season we're in, it's kind of like mixed because, you know, I love being a seer. I love seeing. And you know, I haven't seen you guys in weeks, okay? So it's good to see y'all. I'm not looking. Someone's like, hold on. I'm looking. Oh, I'm looking. You know, the Bible says to exercise your gifts. I'm exercising. Some of you are turning your heads away. Listen, God's so gentle. He will never call you out. He'll call you in. He doesn't call you out. He calls you in. I know. There's no one like him. We worshiped him tonight. Wasn't that wonderful? Did you feel the stuff leave when you were worshiping? The worries and the burdens? And did you feel the alignment come in? That sweet spot in the Holy Ghost? That you can never explain to anybody in the English or in the natural, but it's like us. Ooh. Okay, we are in a season, and it's fun to watch because some are like still on the fence and jumping and hoping this day will go away very soon. Others are in a corner trapped by the enemy, but they're afraid of the enemy. And others are, okay, we're forming a coalition and we're going after the enemy. And others are, Lord, I just waiting on your return. Guess what? Revival is coming. It's coming. I don't know the day, but he said, and when he says, it is. So there has to be some preparation. To prepare for revival, you can't just send a flyer out in the mail and say, hey, there's a revival. It doesn't work. You know, people do that. Let me say that. First of all, I've seen that. You know, a work of the flesh hoping that the Spirit comes along, you know, the results are usually a mixed bag because it's a mixed bag. But people can come in and bring revival into a place like that, and I've seen that happen too. And I've also seen it get shut down because it didn't go the way they wanted. Whatever. But that's not what we're here about tonight. What I'm telling you is revival is here. It's coming. And when the Lord spoke that to me on September 22nd, I don't know, did I tell you this story? Did I share this? I was eating an ice cream cone. What flavor? You get an A if you know.
Mint.
Mint?
Chocolate chip.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. What town was I in?
The one with the, it's in
Colorado.
Yes, yes. No,
Georgetown.
Yes.
So here's the thing. It was the conference. We were at the conference. And when we're doing a conference, it's like, you know, that's all it is him. Him, 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 him. Stay in, stay in, stay in. Well, I came out and went and had an ice cream cone. So I wasn't being spiritual at all, okay? I was in Georgetown eating a mint chocolate chip ice cream cone, spearmint, by the way, and sitting on a bench just hanging out. Wasn't even talking to the Lord. I was just enjoying an ice cream cone. And as I'm licking the cone, Jesus spoke to me, prepare for revival. And I was like, and when he spoke, his presence came on me, and I was like, you know. And for a couple days, it was burning in me. That word was burning. What was happening was it was opening. And I couldn't stop praying in the Spirit. It was like something deep in my bones was, and I didn't know what else to do. I just prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues. And so when he spoke that to me, I had to repent a couple days later because I really don't know what revival means. How am I supposed to prepare when I don't even know what it is? Truthfully, you know, you hear about great revivals, but what does that mean? What's he saying to us right now in this season? I don't want last year's revival. I don't want yesterday's revival. I want fresh manna from heaven today. And so I was thinking, prepare. A strange word, prepare. Not plan, prepare. Well, I'm not a preparer of anything. So I'm like, how does that work? So he had to teach me. And so for me personally, he gave me some assignments to do. And so what does that mean to you guys? What does that mean? Well, I can only share based on what he gives me to share. And what he's telling me is, I have, you know me, I'm always very honest when I stumble and fall, which happens every day, okay? Thank you for his grace and mercy. You know, my stumbles and falls aren't huge, but they still are. If I'm going to measure against your stumble and fall, you know, we don't do that. If I have a bad thought, that's a stumble, you know. I'm past the stealing and robbing stage, and, you know. I hope you are too. If not, hallelujah. Call on that grace and repent and turn your back on sin. There's a scripture. Turn your back on sin. You know, when you turn your back on sin, it loses the foothold. But when you're facing sin and looking at it, it draws you in. That's why that scripture is so important, to turn your back on sin. You turn your back on it, it loses the hold. And then you can align with the Father and call on him for grace and mercy and repent, and boom, the chains are gone. I love that about him. I've had that happen so many times through my life and journey in him. I can't keep track. But anyway, revival, come on. Stay focused. So for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, anybody who knows me, do you know I never remember dates? Right. That's like a character trait of mine. I don't care. What year was you born? I know that. But don't ask me how old I am. I don't know that. Don't ask me how old my kids are. I don't know that, but I know what year they were born. And so I'm just not a big date person. I never have been. And so for me to remember September 22nd is significant. And so anyway, so he gave me some stuff, and I was praying on it. And then I got sidetracked. Does that happen?
Yeah.
You get an assignment from God. You ever have a dream? And then the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? It's a warning dream or a dream of birth or whatever. And then the Holy Spirit will say, well, pray on it. Well, how long? Oh, 10 minutes, hour, 2 hours, 17 days, 30 days, whatever. Whatever the assignment is. And then you start praying, and then, oh, I'm going for ice cream, or oh, I'm going on a road trip, or oh, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. And you get sidetracked from the assignment. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, or maybe the Lord says, I want you to serve in kids' ministry, and then, oh, I'm going to serve in kids' ministry, and you do three times, and then you're like, oh, wait, it's the season of garage sale, I'm done, I'm going garage selling. You know, you ever do something like that? Oh, no, oh, okay. You can relate, can't you? Not even a little bit? So, time goes on. Lord, I said, I don't know anything about revival, but I know you do. And if you spoke this hallelujah, which I know you did, I'm asking you to work things out and show me what I need to do and help me, because I don't know nothing about any of this. I can't even prepare for Thanksgiving, okay? I go to people's houses, okay? And now they know not even to ask me to bring anything. So, just saying. So he's picking the least of the least, O Gideon, you know. And I don't know, I'm not saying that to toot my horn. I'm just saying I'm a vessel. And I always say, Lord, use me any way you want. Do with me as you will. And so, okay, one day he does. And then he does it again and again. And it's like, oh, it's part of the deal we made. And so I don't get to choose. You know, sometimes he says, go clean a toilet or go minister to the old people or do whatever or go give somebody a ride. We don't get to choose what we like and don't like of the assignments that God gives us, because the measure you use gets measured back to you. Aha. And it brings a blessing. So, and you hold yourself accountable. I don't even want to go there, but when we stand before the judgment, we give an account, you know, and so just saying. So thank you for his grace, because I sure needed it, because praying, even have it on the board, praying on it, and then I forget. Time goes by, and, you know, every once in a while I'll throw a shatabande at it, you know. Come on, you know it. Let the other intercessors pray it in. Shaka bang, you know, a little more to the side with a twist. So it stalls because it's not being prayed through. I'm distracted working on other projects. So don't you love the kindness of Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Spirit of comfort, Spirit of truth, leads and guides us in all truth. I'm off a little bit, maybe fleshing out or maybe studying the word in a different area, but that's not where he wants me at that time. So I'm praying on my list of things to pray, and I really did just come off of a great break, I will tell you that. Most of the time when I travel, it's ministry related, and it's, you may think it's fun because you guys get to come. Some of you work it with us, but it's never, when you carry something in the spirit, you carry it like a baby. You don't get to say, okay, I'm setting it off to the side. Well, I did for the ice cream cone, but but he still showed up. So you don't get to just pick and choose, you know. And so when you're doing retreats and stuff, there's this, you're just in and you stay in until you release the whole thing. And so when we travel and minister, there's always not a burden, but it's a, it is a burden, you know. It's just part of what it is. And so although I love ministry and I love traveling and I love seeing the fruit of the retreats, it's like I hadn't had a real vacation, you know. So I took some time off after a work meeting and spent some time resting in the presence, and guess what? God gives me a dream. And in the dream, I didn't think I was going to share this tonight. This is so cool. In the dream, first of all, I repented. I should tell you that. I'm like, Lord, I'm such a slug. You know, you gave me an assignment and I can't even, you know, stay on task. You got to help me. You know, I know this is something you're doing, but I don't know anything about this. And so blah, blah, blah. After my repent, I have a dream. And in the dream, Holly and I had bought this building, and it was a very old building. I was going to save this for the car trip, by the way. But I'll give you the ins later, the more twos. So we bought this building, and we were getting the building moved. So it was on a trailer, and the trailer wasn't like a modern trailer. It was kind of an older trailer. And I was very concerned about the wheels of the trailer. I didn't want it to get a nail in it and pop the tire, because we were going right down Main Street in the town of Antioch. So I'm in the road with like this, looking in the road for any nails, anything that could puncture the tires. And while I'm doing that, I'm picking up nails and picking up lag bolts, and people are mocking me off to the side. And they were making fun of me for doing that. And I didn't care at all. I'm like, this, there can't get a nail in this. which means intercession prayer, get, you know, the schemes of the enemy. So it's getting moved down the road, and as I'm picking up nails and stuff, I see an axe head. I picked it up. and you know, I just kept going. And then the building, it was going on the northwest corner of Main Street. It gets put in place, and the outside of the building looks horrible. In the natural eye, the paint is falling off. It's a wood building, very old. The paint is peeling off. On the inside of the building, when I go inside the building, the paint is falling off, and the floors are spongy. And I'm worried that I might fall through. I'm thinking, ooh, I could fall through this floor. When I'm in the building, I see Kina in the building. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and because we knew we were going to have to rehab the building. And Kina's helped me with other projects. And so I looked at her, and I looked at the surroundings, and in the natural, it looked horrible. And I said, it's doable. And that was it. And I came out of the dream, and I thought, that was the strangest dream. As I prayed into the dream, I realized it's about revival. A little slow on the draw here, huh? And so just tonight, because the Lord's been giving me pieces to this. Now, the floor was spongy. So once the building got put in place, I went underneath the foundation to look at it, and I was amazed. It was in perfect, pristine condition. I've never seen wood look so strong and healthy and beautiful. And as I prayed into this, oh, it's a 25-hour assignment, okay? For those of you who know how to pray. So, and it's not just shabababaladala. There's work on this one. So as I look underneath the building, I see the structure. It's so sound. And as I'm back inside the main part of the building, I realize as I was praying on it, you know, and the thing, here's what happens on this, you know, sometimes God will give us a dream and it's a warning dream and you pray it through. This dream, I actually go into visions when I pray on it and I'm in the building. Okay, it's amazing. And the revelation that comes forth while I'm praying and I'm meditating in the building, it's so great. I have to write it down when I come out because it's just so profound. And so a couple things. When I first started praying on it, the Lord gave me the scriptures about the waters. I think it was in Ezekiel where it's knee deep, ankle deep. That's what caused the floors to buckle. The water came from underneath. Based on how the floor was buckled up, you know, it wasn't internal coming down. It was coming up. And I was like, whoa. And so, you know, that's a good thing, okay? The other thing is the paint and all that stuff, that was work of man, work of flesh. It doesn't hold up. The other thing was, I'm just seeing how far I can go on this tonight. The other thing was Kina. Tonight, the Lord told me this right before I left. Kina represents anybody who will show up, anybody who's willing, because that's what she is, and that's who she is. Isn't that cool? Because I was like, okay. So there's so much more to it. But then from there, as I pray, I mean, this right here goes back to other dreams. They're tied to other dreams that he's given me years ago. And with other people. One of them was Anna. You guys remember Anna? Anna W. I could say her name, Wiseman. You know, she was in one of my dreams about a rainbow and the floods coming. And so, you know, right away I'm like, hey, we ended up reaching out to each other. I said, strange time. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking of you. And so I didn't share the whole detail with her. But I mean, this is like webbed in the spirit, but in a good way. There's like ties in the spirit. And there's some other dreams that he's bringing forth, and it's all coming because of the point we're at. We are at a tipping point in the spirit, but you will miss it if you get caught up in the natural. And so God really convicted me because it's so easy to settle in to what's comfortable or what we're used to. You know, God is calling us out of our comfortableness. You know, thank you, everybody who ministered for the last 3 weeks. That was so wonderful to see God use your giftings and for you to come forth and deliver a word in season and grow in your giftings. I love that people came and supported. Because listen, it isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you're coming to hear a word from Lori Scanlon, you're not going to make it in the when things get dark. You need to come and listen to what the Lord says, but not listen to what man says. Does that make sense? And so I feel like there's this this wonderful webbing or weaving going on in the Spirit where he's connecting and solidifying and strengthening the body of Christ. But the problem is we tend to get lazy. And so all this wonderful stuff is going on, and I'm like loving it, and I'm the revelation so deep. I had to figure out a new way to keep track of my notes because I couldn't pen it anymore. I wasn't able to read my writing because I get so far gone. My writing's bad enough, but then when you're in the Holy Ghost and you're writing with your eyes closed, you can't read it, and you have to go back in to get what he said. So I've found a better system. But anyway, I feel like the time we're in, it's like the 10 virgins. We have to get our oils filled, and we have to remember why we're here. And I say that because sometimes, okay, God's talking revival. So is that why I'm here? No, I'm here because my husband is coming for me. Come on. And what's he looking for? Well, he wants my oil lamp full. Well, how do I get my oil lamp full? I have to show up. I have to attend to myself, so to speak. Like, think of a bride. Think of when a bride's getting ready. She doesn't just show up 5 minutes before and say, okay, I'm ready for the ceremony. There's preparation. And that's the season we're in. We're in a season of preparation. And it's sometimes, oh, can't I just get it done in a weekend? No. Some women spend months getting ready for their ceremony. They spend great details in preparing their dress and getting the list of people they want to invite and all those details, which, by the way, I didn't care about any of that. And so it's, you know, I'm not a preparer. So he's got to do it through me for what we're doing here. And so the cool thing is if we get distracted with them versus us and all that stuff, which is what they want, then they, meaning the enemy, it's not a person, it's an enemy. It's an entity. It's, ooh, I'm not even going there. You all know. So the truth is, though, we are waiting for our master to come, for our bridegroom to come and get us. And while we're waiting, we need to prepare ourselves. And how we prepare ourselves is, how do we fill our oil? Well, it's through the word, it's through worship, it's through ministering, it's through doing the works that Jesus would have us do unto others. And so sometimes we get so caught up in the now earth, the tasks of balancing your checkbook or raising a family. That's all good, but he has to come first. And the shaking that we're seeing some not make it, to be honest with you. We're already seeing people not make it, and it's sad. You know, we have been praying for the body of Christ. We have been praying for our governments, and we have been praying for the lost and the broken. And it's sad to see some soldiers take a hit and go down. But I have to keep my eyes on the task of Jesus Christ. And some will fall to the left and some will fall to the right, but they shall not touch me. And they will not touch me. And so I have to build that faith up. And so the ones that didn't make it, they needed to build their faith up, but they got distracted along the way. Now, is God mad at them? No. But he's not playing favoritisms. It doesn't matter how good you were yesterday. It's, are you here today? Don't you love that about him? Because my yesterday wasn't so good. You know, did you say something bad yesterday? Meaning an hour ago? You know, that's yesterday. You know what I mean? His grace is new every day, and that's what's important. So I feel like there's the shaking going on, but it's to awaken the dead. It's to awaken the comatose. It's to awaken the ones who once had a love for Jesus but got taken out, whether they raised a family or got married or had a career change or just got hurt really bad and said, you know, it's too much. I just can't do this. Listen, if you were taken out by the enemy, stop beating yourself up. That's what the grace of God is for, is to bring you back in. All you got to do is say, oh man, I didn't even know it. I got taken out. Here I am right now. Lord, I'm so sorry I got taken out. Help me. You say that, he'll help you. And he'll fight your battle for you. See, because right now, if you're taken out, you're fighting your own battle. Did you know that? And you ain't going to win. Because you're in the enemy's camp. And he's a loser. and you're associating with a loser. So step out of the kingdom of darkness, step into the kingdom of light. That easy. Now don't use it as a swinging door because that'll backfire. Just saying. So God is calling us, and in my case, you know, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I get distracted. Every day I get distracted. Every day there's a choice. And I was on vacation, and all this great revelation's coming, and then I'm like, I think I'm going to read a book. I open up a book, and the first page of the book is, I put the book down. You know how you know when you should be just sitting in the Holy Ghost and resting in Him? But I'm like, I think I'm going to read something, you know? The first page of the book, in the preference, or whatever they call that thing, it's talking about the talents. One was given 10, one was given 5, and one was given 1. And what are you doing with the talents that God gave you? And I'm like, whoa! I just set it off on the shelf, you know? And I got so convicted. Now, anybody else would have read that and not picked up on it because that was the Word speaking to me. Yeah. Don't you love that? Yeah. Now, if I find that book and handed it to you, you'd be like, oh, he's talking about growing wealth or whatever, you know, talents. But no, it was like, I gave you an assignment and I'm going to hold you accountable to it. You're going to answer to me on this. And it's about the condition of the heart. The whole thing is about our hearts. You know, the one with the one talent, oh, you were an evil taskmaker. I knew you were a bad guy. Wow, you got a bad heart if you're thinking like that, you know. The other two know the same guy and they're not saying that about him. So it's an issue of our heart and we got to get this right. So have you ever had an issue in your heart that wasn't good? Me too. But have you ever had them, you know, when you repent or even think that you should repent and just say, I don't know what, something not right. You know, the car light, bling, 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 you're out of oil. Something not right. Help. That's all he needs is help and he'll show up. He'll provide the answer. And so this isn't too difficult, but it's difficult. Does that make sense? So where we're at right now is God's shaking. And he's putting people, nasty people in front of us. Will you respond? Will you lash out? The enemy's doing it. How about this one? Here's the thing. I made an agreement with the Lord, oh, many years ago. And the agreement is, I don't get to have an opinion. Because I'm serving the Master. And his opinion is what counts. And did you know he says, love your enemies? Did you know that strife? Whoa, do you know what strife does? Come on. Yeah. So are you striving? Are you fighting with somebody about something? Maybe a mandate or a shot or anything like that? Are you trying to prove why your opinion is more important than the other person's opinion? Stop. Stop. Because that brings envy. That brings strife. And that brings every work of wickedness. So if somebody's confronted, and listen, that's their job. The Spirit's job is to go, come on, bite on the carrot. Come on. Don't bite the carrot. It don't taste good. It's bitter. And it brings forth bitterness and separates and divides and then conquers. That's the job of that Spirit that's operating right now in the earth. But guess what? You're not of the earth. You're of the kingdom of God. So if you can position yourself, practice, get out of that stuff and say, Lord, and the way to do it is just worship him in your head so that your mind stops thinking about, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Listen, worship him, direct your eyes on him, and he will bring a peace back on, and that's what's going to draw the lost and the broken. We've getting calls. People are telling testimonies of, you know, people are getting saved because of the peace that other people are walking in. Now, that's a weapon of warfare. And here's the thing, the devil can't counterfeit that one. You know, he can't even dress that one up. There's no sweetness in him. There's no truth in him. So some of you guys are going to go to Thanksgiving tomorrow, and you're going to be with people who don't agree with your point of view. What's God's point of view? Yeah. So what if they keep pushing on you to try to get you to engage? You can pray as long as you want, but you're going to have to speak. You're going to have to say, listen, we do not agree on this, and I love you so much. Let's agree not to talk about this because it's just going to bring division. And I love you too much. And I want, we've been friends for 30 years. We've been in the same family all our life. Do you want this to separate us? I know you don't agree with the way I think, but I love you. And I think we just shouldn't talk about it. And some will be like, well, what do you mean you don't want to talk about it? And that's when you just smile and you don't say nothing. It's kind of like training a dog with the look. And eventually, they'll get it. Does that make sense? So, some of you, you know, I love Thanksgiving, but I came from a time and season where I hated every holiday. It was miserable. And so I know what it feels like to be in a broken, horrible, depressing, demonic situation. And I'm not in there anymore, and I won't go back. But I know what it's like to have to go into a place where you just don't want to go. I want to remind you of what Jesus, I saw this post. You know, I'm not a big Facebook fan, but I saw this post and I stole it because I loved it so much, but I don't know that what it's called. But what do you, can you, we can't put it up because our thing's down, but okay, put it up. And so the thing is you got to remember why you're here. You're not here to go eat dinner with your friends or family. You're here because you're an heir to the kingdom of God. And as an heir, you have certain responsibilities. One is you don't get an opinion. The other is you represent the kingdom of God. And that's it. The rest is rubbish. And so if you can come out from the emotional pain and trauma that's tried to hold you captive and get released into the love of Christ, like realign and just say, you know what? I know my Father in heaven loves me. And if you don't know that, it's scriptural. And I want you to read that and meditate on it until it pops open and comes out of you because it's already in you. Does that make sense? So, do you have it? When you realize God's invited you to sit at his table, it no longer matters who doesn't invite you to theirs. Amen. And if you're alone for Thanksgiving and you're feeling lonely and depressed, go minister. Go show the love of Christ. Go pick up some Happy Meals or something and just go give them to the homeless and watch the gratitude of the homeless respond to your heart, to the cry of your heart, because you're actually feeding Jesus. So you're stepping out of the earth system and you're going into the kingdom of God and ministering to Jesus and watch what happens. The gratitude will jump on top of you and overtake you. Powerful. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.